Stova, would you come and deliver the word of the Lord for us today?
Amen. Let's give that praise to Jesus right now. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Amen. We love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I have found it very easy to speak in tongues since I've been here. Man, the presence of the Lord is here. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost, this is the perfect atmosphere in which to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, before you can receive the Holy Ghost, you have to repent of your sins. Somebody say amen. Say, well, how in the world do I do that? Well, it's easy. You just tell it to Jesus. How many has ever messed up? Anybody? Could I see a hand or two? Few of you are honest here today. If you have sinned, you can get rid of that guilt by simply raising your hand and saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And it happens immediately. I happen to notice you have a baptistry here. I don't know if there's any water in it, but I see it. But after you repent, you should be baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, what a wonderful experience that is. Because when you are baptized, buried with him, you get his name. Amen. I was introduced as Brother Stovall. My first name is Charles, but my full name is Charles Stovall Jesus. Because I'm part of the family. Amen. I wear the name of Jesus. And then you don't stop there, but you receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is evidenced to those around you by speaking in other tongues. How many of you have spoken in tongues? I said already, it's easy to speak in tongues here. And so while this service continues, you can receive the Holy Ghost right there where you're sitting. Amen. You can begin to speak in tongues, and we'll just worship with you. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm sorry that I missed Pastor Chandler. I asked Sister Chandler before the service if her husband knew what she was getting into when he asked me to come. And she was a very honest sister in the Lord. She said, I don't think so. Amen. Amen. But I heard you call him Landon Pastor Phil, or did you say Philip? Phil, Pastor? My son David and he are friends. David pastors in Hobart, Indiana. And we're natives. My wife and I of Fort Wayne. Pastored there. Spent 27 years in missions. And now we're retarded. Retired. Amen. 1 Timothy. Would you stand with me in honor of the word? 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6. This is a wonderful scripture, and it came to me a number of months ago, and in my prayer notes that I use, because I can't remember some stuff that I should, I have right up in the corner, I am content. Would you say that with me? I am content. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I'm going to preach on this title, Depression versus contentment. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this wonderful church. And we thank you for Brother and Sister Chandler who are leading it. Keep Brother Chandler safe as he travels. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look mighty fine today. Amen. Please Tell the truth only. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Children of God look fine because by default we are content. Amen. Discontentment is not a healthy thing. You are only discontent when you are discontent with yourself. If you're not content with your station in life, with your career, with your home that you live in, or the car that you drive, there'll be this gnawing depression that just pulls you down and say, I wish I had more. I wish that I could be smarter. Don't even try that, because I did it all my life and it doesn't work. And if I could just be this or I could just be that, then I would be content. Depression is defined by psychiatry as a mental condition. Everybody say it's in your head. A mental condition characterized by feelings of severe despondency and dejection, typically also with feelings of inadequacy, guilt, and often accompanied by a lack of energy and disturbance of appetite and sleep. There's nothing wrong with my appetite, amen. Nothing wrong with my sleep patterns. Aren't you glad that we can have the joy of the Lord? The word contentment means to be self-satisfied. Everybody say that. Self-satisfied. Some say, oh, no, Christians can't have anything about self. Oh, that is totally 100% wrong. If you are not content with yourself, if you don't have any self-satisfaction, then you're doing something wrong, and I'm going to try to help you today. It also means competence and sufficiency and to be enough. For a while, I was asking people, do you have enough? Look at your neighbor and ask them that question. Do you have enough? Amen. Do you? And then they would say, well, enough of what? Well, anything. Do you have enough love? Do you have enough money? Do you have enough housing? Do you all of our life, we just have to have these sufficiencies or we are not happy. Amen. I have 7 pages of notes, so I better get busy. We're going to look at number 3 of 3 very important parables that Jesus gave to us. Amen. The first one was the lost sheep and then the lost coin, all about salvation. But we're going to look at the third one, the lost son, or as we have come to call it, the prodigal son. Normally, this sermon is preached with an intention of getting backsliders to come back to the Lord. That's not my intent today, although you are welcome to do that. But this one has to do with our sermon title, Depression versus Contentment. There are 5 things in the parable. How many know the parable of the son that left home? Amen. I see hands all over. There are 5 things. Number 1 was the farm. Everybody say the farm. Number 2 was the father. He owns everything. Number 3 were the 2 sons. The eldest and the youngest. And this is very important in Jewish culture, coming all the way from the Old Testament. The firstborn was always the most important and received 2/3 of the inheritance. And maybe that's why the younger son was not very happy. So one represented the flesh and the other represented spiritual things and hard works. Then number 4, there were the servants. Everybody say the servants. Amen. How many wants to be a servant? Oh, all 2 of you. I am so impressed with your dedication to servanthood. Amen. I tell you what, to be a servant is to be like Jesus. And those that are greatest in the kingdom of God are those who are servants. Amen. Everybody in the world wants to be served. Everybody has this feeling of entitlement. Oh, the government owes this and you owe me that. Listen, nobody owes us anything, but we owe ourselves to be satisfied and to be full of the Holy Ghost and to be pleasant in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everybody said amen. They were actually hired servants. They weren't part of the family. They weren't ever going to receive any of the inheritance, but they were workers and they were paid for it. I want you to know that anything that you do in the kingdom, you will be well paid for it. Can I get it? Not from the church, not in dollars and cents, but from protection, from blessings, amen, from the joy of the Lord. All of these blessings come to you when you have a servant's heart. And then the fifth thing and the last thing is the house, the family house. And it was there that you had parties, amen. The farm, let's talk about it a minute. We're sitting in the midst of the farm right here, as far as I'm concerned. It's a good business. We run a good business here. We offer deliverance to people who are in bondage. We offer peace to those who are discontented with their life. It's a good place to be in this church. I'm impressed with this church. Your worship was pure and it was good, and I told you already, I found it very easy to worship God. Oh, what a valuable place this is. Amen. The farm, good business, but it required hard work and loyalty and unity. Hard work, say it, hard work. Amen. Loyalty, everybody say it, loyalty. And finally, unity. Amen. I hope you don't hold this against me, but I enjoy on the sly, on the side, classical music. Is that okay? And I like to pull up on YouTube and see this. I don't know how many is in that orchestra. What is there, 20, 25? And they're playing this, and they're blowing on this, and they're beating on this. And then one time I was watching this guy with a little triangle, forget what you call it, and a stick. And he's just standing there. Everybody's playing. The music is playing. And he's just standing there. And all of a sudden, the music got to his part, and he went, ding, ding. And then he stopped. He was content with his giftings. And I looked at the orchestration of the orchestra, and I thought, oh, my God, wouldn't it be wonderful if our church acted like that? Amen. Just stand with your little triangle and every once in a while go, ding, ding. Amen. And everything will just go in harmony. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. So the farm is a good place. It involved finances. It involved finances. The reason I know this is because the younger son asked for his inheritance out of time. Papa's not dead yet. You don't get an inheritance till somebody dies, right? So I don't know if he was wishing him dead. I don't know how the father felt. He says, hey, what do you mean you want your inheritance? Do I look ill today? No, he wanted his money. The farm represented livelihood. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, you cannot make it in the kingdom of God without the income from the family farm. Come on, you've got to have the family farm to have a crop, to have something to eat spiritually. And I'm trying to feed you today. I'm not really preaching. I'm teaching a Bible study. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, this is the place that you can be renewed and blessed and filled up. Amen. So the father, when we talk about him, amen, he owned everything, finances. He owned everything. He owned everything. You're not getting it. I said he owned everything. Amen. Come on. He owns everything. He owns your family. He owns your wife, your husband, your children. Amen. He owns this building. He owns the entire earth. Don't you want to be in good standing with the owner of everything? Amen. He owns the hospital. He owns the doctor that's going to work on you. He owns the government. Hallelujah. Thank God somebody's in charge up there. Amen. Oh, he owns everything. He owns me. Now, I drove up here in a car, and it belongs to me. I've got the title to it. But when it breaks down, guess who has to fix it? Me. Why? Because it belongs to me. So when I break down, guess who has to fix me? Oh, my Creator, my Jesus. He deserves the hallelujah. He deserves all the praise and all the glory. Then there were the two sons, the elder and the younger, two natures, carnal, spiritual, old nature, new nature. Aren't you glad we can be born again? One was lazy, one was ambitious. Kind of reminds you of Cain and Abel. And Cain, you've heard of raising Cain, haven't you? Cain rose up and killed his brother. The elder son was loyal and hardworking. He stayed home, but was he content? Depression versus contentment. I would like to propose to you today that the elder son was just as depressed as the younger son for two different reasons, but nonetheless, both depressed. You cannot be depressed and be content at the same time. You cannot be content and be depressed. It doesn't work that way. If you find contentment, you're going to be happy. You're going to be joyful. You're going to be satisfied with life. And that's the reason that if I was to bring up my prayer list right up in the corner, I want God to know every morning at 77 years old, I am content. Look at your neighbor and say, are you content? And you better not be lying in this house. Amen. So the elder son stayed and worked. The younger one was discontent also. He was depressed. The younger get up every day and had to kowtow to his older brother, knowing he was going to get 2/3 of the inheritance and have to go work again. Hardly ever had any time off. Life is tough. Amen. Life requires work. All work is honorable. And Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. That'll preach right there, won't it? If you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. Except retired folks. Amen. All the retired people, please say amen. Oh, but I still work. I work every day. I have a plan every day. I can't go through the daytime just sitting. I have to do something. I'm going to tell you, it is rewarding to be a worker. It is rewarding to be a servant. And the elder son was getting that right. But what he wasn't doing was enjoying life. He said, I never have a party. You never throw a party. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you got to hear this now. I'm going to tell you what. Some of y'all look like you need a party. Amen. You need to, if you're happy, you need to notify your face. Amen. And put a smile on it and say, yeah, I am happy. Woo! I'm talking about classical music. I don't know. I'm getting kind of whirly today. And then there's this guy that sings, you know, he's that dope smoking Jamaican, I think. Be happy. Don't worry. Oh, God, that'll preach right there. Amen. Don't worry. Be happy. Why shouldn't I worry? My Father owns everything. He's in charge of my life. He's in charge of my body. Amen. He's the one that supplies my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody say hallelujah. Well, the younger son is very unhappy. He said, I'm going to leave, Dad. And I want mine now. I want to be free and independent. I'm tired of all these rules. I'm tired of this work schedule. We don't even have a union. What are you doing, Dad? I'm done. So one thing he did lack, though, was wisdom. So he got what he wanted, but not what he needed. I don't understand this. You can ask Pastor Chandler when he gets home. I don't understand why the Father, before he died, divided the inheritance between, because both of them got their inheritance. But the older son, the first son, put his back into the farm. And what did the younger son do? He got his camels and his sheep and his goats and his money and his gold and took off. And this is what it said. Verse 13, Luke 15, 13. We're going to see now how good they are back there in the tech office. Luke 15, 13. Not many days. Nope, it's not there yet. Luke 15, 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Why would he leave the Jewish culture? Why would he leave the Jewish law? He went to a heathen country where they ate bacon and pork chops. What is a Jew doing in this far country eating a bacon and lettuce and tomato sandwich? He shouldn't be there. But when people leave the farm, they don't just leave. They go further and further and further and further until they can't even see or hear the farm anymore. I love the farm. I love the church. Well, he had a lot of friends because he had a lot of money. But the one thing he didn't have was income. Huh? Because when he left with his inheritance, all he had was that. And when he started spending it, there was no way to replenish it. Let me tell you young people something. Are there any young people here? Yeah, I see a few out there. You see me? You know, I don't regret $1 that I saved for retirement. Oh, no. You better be laying up in store for later. But this young man, he didn't know that. He said, oh, I got it. I'm going to spend it. And can you believe he took his last shilling out of his pocket and paid for sin and then realized it's all gone? I have no source. I'm going to tell you what. When you get retired, when you get old and tired, amen, you need a source. You need a fountain of youth, hallelujah, that springs up in you like a well of living water and floods out into the community around you. I am the source because I am filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. Every morning I get up and I have a little conference with my Savior, amen. And every morning, it's almost every morning, I'll be talking in tongues early in the morning. I'll be laying my petitions out to my Jesus. Are you rich or are you poor? Did you spend all you've got, or do you still have this contact with Jesus, the source? All of a sudden, he was out of money. I've been preaching for 20 minutes. Somebody say hallelujah. It's gone. When it was gone, guess what happened? It was a mighty famine. He didn't plan on that. He didn't expect that. Two disasters at the same time. He ran out of money and he ran into a famine. The first was his fault. The second was just life. Come on, life happens. How many has ever been in a famine in your life? Just because you're a born-again Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to get the flu, huh? Doesn't mean even that you're not going to get COVID. Thank God that's past, whatever it was. Amen. But there'll be another one to get somewhere. We need the protection of God. Amen. But life happens. Amen. Life happens. We were on our way here, and all of a sudden, an ambulance went roaring by on 30, going toward Fort Wayne. I forget where we're at, somewhere over the halfway mark. And then here comes the fire truck. You know how they do that. And I thought, good Lord, that's just where we came from back there. It could have been us in an accident. But aren't you glad that Jesus is our co-pilot? Hallelujah. That he is with us. all the time. But that still doesn't mean that there's not going to be trouble. But when you have trouble, do you know how to get back to the source? Can you get back to the farm? Are you still on the farm? Do you still have income from the farm? Oh, yes, somebody say, yes, Lord, because you can't come here and not leave refreshed. How many has ever come to church tired physically and spiritually and mentally and go home refreshed, feeling like $1 million, everything right? What is it? Just in his presence and in our presence, the fellowship of the children of God. If you're here and you're not a member of this church, let me give you some advice. You need to get into this church and stay in this church. Amen. Because this is the farm. This is where Papa is, and he owns everything, and he can take care of everything. So he's out of money, a famine. Verse 17, Luke 15, 17. These two scriptures, I got to hurry. I'm getting out of whack with preaching. I leave that to younger men. Why aren't you preaching, Landon? You being good to your pastor? Are you? Yeah, okay, all right, just checking. 15:17. And when he came to himself, oh, God, what a glorious day it is when people come to themselves. Amen. Self-satisfaction is contentment. And when he came to himself, he said, oh, I am not content with this mess I have made of my life. He came to himself and he said, as the hunger pains were going through his stomach, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger. I will arise. I don't know where you're at, ladies and gentlemen, but if it's in the mully grubs, if you're depressed, amen, if you're suffering from, oh me, you need to just rise up from where you are and start back toward the Father. Amen. Not exactly to the farm. That's not exactly what he had in his mind, but he wanted to go to the Father. And guess what? The Father still owns the farm, amen, and still has plenty to eat. He said, I'm going to go back to Papa, and this is what I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him I'm not worthy to be called your son. You need to get off your high horse. Come on, you need to get off. You don't have any rights. We're all sinners saved by grace. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't have anything to brag about. And so when we come, we have to say, we are not worthy. Oh, he loves to hear that. He didn't say, I need to borrow money. He didn't say, I want restoration. No, he didn't. He said, I want to be a servant. Just let me be as one of the servants. That's what he's going to say. And that's what happened. Amen. That's what happened. Verse 21, if we could skip there. And the son said, you have that? And the son said, ooh, yes, right there. I'm not worthy. Verse 22, but the father said. Isn't that interesting? The first three words of each verse. And the son said, and the father said. The son said, I'm not worthy. And the father said, I don't know if there was communication between him and the son or not, but now he's talking to the servants. He said, oh, let's have a party. My boy has come back home. Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on. He came home barefooted. Amen. He put shoes on his feet and bring forth the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat. Everybody say, hallelujah, let us eat. Amen. And be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And they, I want you to say those words, start with N. And they began to be merry. How do you get happy? You just begin. Oh, there's several that went right over your head. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, you can be merry if you want to be. You just have to say, yep, I'm going to be happy right now. I'm going to stop being in the mully grubs. I'm going to stop complaining. I am going to be merry. Amen. 27 minutes. I'm usually good for 30. I might make 35 today. The elder son comes from the field, hears the noise. Look at verse 25. It's really interesting. The elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. We're going to talk about the house here, too. The elder son is coming home. Now we're going to talk about the house. That's where we're at. And he heard music and dancing. He heard two things, music and dancing. How do you hear dancing? Well, if you hear dancing, it's not some sort of just floating around. And oh, no, they were pounding their feet on the ground. I cannot demonstrate because I'm 77 years old. Amen. But I'm telling you, friends, you could hear them dancing. He said, what is this all about? Is there a party going on? I didn't know there's going to be a party. He said, oh, your brother has come back, and your father has killed the fatted calf, and they're just having a shindig. Anybody know? I don't know what a shindig is. Amen. They're having a great time in there. And boy, did he ever get mad. He said, I never left home. I didn't waste my money. And dad, you never gave me a party. And you know what his dad said to him? All that I have is yours. If you don't have a party, it's your own fault. He must have had some friends. The firstborn must have had some friends. Because he said, you never offered a party to me for my friends. Well, that's not the dad's place. There's some things you got to do for yourself. Yeah. If you have friends, yeah, you got to be friendly. And if you want a party, just ask dad. He's got another calf. He's got some more dancing shoes. Amen. The Jews love to dance. They still dance. They come to the Wailing Wall and they dance. And it's not elaborate. Sometimes it's kind of a lot of gesticulation. You dancing, but usually it's just a shuffling. And then they dance together. Never men with women, but always men with men, women with women. Always that separation. And sometimes they hold hands, sometimes they put their hand on a shoulder, and they get in a circle. Have you ever seen it? And they dance all around the circle, and they're all connected. And in that circle is where I is changed to we. Huh? It's not just me. Come on, you need to get in some circle dances. Boy, Pastor Chandler's never going to let me come back. He taught us that we should dance. Now give us a, yeah, no, don't do that. Amen. But we need to partner up with brothers and sisters and say, I've got your back. I've been praying for you this week. Amen. Can I do anything for you? Amen. Just ask and I'm going to be. Oh, we're not alone. We're a family. This farm belongs to Jesus. And we are all members together. But the angry son said, oh, this is not right. But the dad said, oh, yes, it is. And you can do it too. Ecclesiastes 3:4. I'm almost done. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There's an appropriate time to have a Holy Ghost party. And when the evangelist comes or when the pastor knocks the ball out of the field, amen, you need to get out in the aisles and just dance and worship God. 2 Samuel 6:14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. He danced before the Lord. Musicians are coming, please. Danced before the Lord with all of his might. Read Psalms 150 when you go home, and you'll find out about true worship. Amen. The Jews loved to dance before the Lord. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Come on, Jesus. Fill this house with the Holy Ghost right now. Would you stand with me? I hope we have a singer or two or three or four or all of you come back. Amen. Oh, I hope you don't have a funeral song picked out. Amen. I hope you've got something to have a party with. Oh, be happy. And don't worry. Oh, just begin to be happy. Somebody here is depressed or has been. Somebody here is in some kind of trouble. But I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, lift your hand up. And just begin to be happy. Say, God, I'm happy with you. I'm happy with the gospel. I'm happy with your word. I'm happy with this church. I'm happy because you love me and are keeping me. Come on, let's worship him as they lead us in a song and help us to worship. A missionary from China told the story of an old Chinese man who was very feeble in his body. But when they began to worship, he'd stand up and get a hold of the pew and just hold on. And he'd start doing this. He didn't run the aisle. He didn't get... And they came to call it the old man shuffle. You don't have to run. But you need to dance today a little bit. Come on, let's sing some more and rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Can I just say real quick, amen, I love the spirit of freedom I feel, and I wish that I could just get half of you to reach across an aisleway, reach to somebody beside you and take them by the hand. Before we dismiss, amen, I just feel like we just need to take an opportunity and pray against the spirit of depression. Amen, we live in a world that's topsy-turvy, and if you watch the news, God forbid, you know what I'm talking about. But there's coming a day when all we will do is dance and all we will do is shout and rejoice at the throne of God himself. Would you take your neighbor by the hand? And I don't know that you need to know what they're going through, and we don't need to talk about the mess, but I want you to pray for them like you want them to pray for you. And let's pray the spirit of depression out and pray on a spirit of contentment. Amen. Oh, Lord, we love you today. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for power and authority. God, we pray again. against the spirit of darkness. We pray against the spirit of depression, Lord, and we pray, Lord, in its place, replace it with contentment, with joy and long-suffering. I'm asking you, Lord, let us be rejoiced, refueled and renewed today, God. We magnify you. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. Do you feel that shaking take place? Hallelujah. Somebody ought to lift up a hand unto God and say, not one more day, not one more mile. I'll not carry it, not one more day. In Jesus' name. Lift up your hands one last time unto God. Lift up your voices in your hearts. Lord, we love you. God, we're thankful, Lord, for contentment and peace. God, in joy unspeakable and full of glory. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we don't have to walk not one more day carrying the weight of this world. God, we worship you. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.